I had a, you know, Jeff Staple, the Staple Pigeons, those original Staple Pigeons, they originally dropped on this is probably my worst giveaway. They dropped on Bitsky, and there was like 50 of them, and you had to like race super fast, just like tickets, to get it. I got the number two Staple Pigeon out of 50. And that Staple Pigeon would have gotten me 7 vials to mint Clone X's. Trust me. The thing went up to like 25 ETH by itself. But it would have gotten me all those vials. And it was like, that was a nasty one. I gave that away. But I sold it like 2 ETH, you know? So it was like, that was great at the time. I was just getting going and just trying to make money.
Before we get started, we have to give a thanks to our sponsor, Spartan Insurance in Greenville, South Carolina. The owner is a friend of the show and a friend of mine, Jay Keller. He deals with every form of insurance from personal to commercial and will take excellent care of you and your insurance needs. Give him a call for a quote today, 864-533-3350, or visit his website at www.spartaninsure.com. Welcome back, everybody. It's another episode of Web3 Putts. Tonight I've got with me Rusty, as always, and a very special guest from the NFT Catcher Pod, Mr. Michael Keane. Thanks for joining us, Michael. How are you guys?
Awesome.
Cole, I could be better. I feel like shit, but wasn't going to miss this. Once we got Michael to come on here, there was no chance I was going to miss it. Everybody that listens to us knows that you got me into Web3 and the crypto, but the day I bought my first NFT, I was like, you know what? I need to get into listen to some podcasts about this. And the first podcast I listened to was NFT Catcher. And I listened to the first, how many episodes are you at now, Michael?
We're 126 is where we're at.
Okay. So I know I listened to every single one of the first 100. That was
wow.
Every single one. I will admit the last 26 of them have been hit or miss. But yeah, I mean, I was a regular on every podcast, it taught me personally a lot about projects that were coming out. We'll get into a little bit, but I tailed you, Michael, on a few projects. Some not doing so great. Some I did make a little bit of money, but it was cool, you know. And we're really appreciative of you hopping on here with us, us little guys, as you guys continue to make your way up the rankings in the podcast world.
Yeah, not at all, man. It's an absolute pleasure. I have a big smile on my face. I really appreciate that. It makes me feel good. So I'm happy to be here. I actually listened to your guys' last podcast. You do great work too. I love all these people creating in the NFT space. Love coming on podcasts, and I was thrilled as soon as I was asked. I was like, "Let's roll."
Love it, love it.
Quickest DM I ever got back.
Do that.
Yeah, man. Love it when a plan comes together. But well, Michael, give us a little bit of introduction about yourself, kind of how you got, you know, where you're at today, and most of our listeners probably don't know you, to be honest with you. So give us a little information, a little background.
My name is Michael Keane. I'm from Philadelphia. I live down in South Florida. I've been down here for about 18 years now. A huge Eagles fan, 76ers fan. My professional career, I was a ticket broker, concerts, sporting events. And that got all shut down in the beginning of 2020. I took about a year off, was trying to figure out what to do. Thankfully, came across NFTs in February of 2021. And that was a really good time to get into it and just studied and learned. Was on Clubhouse all night long, every night, and just, you know, hit some good spots. And here we are.
So, Michael, one thing I wanted to touch on that I don't know how much you've touched on it on your pod, but the ticket broker side of it, were you, so I have my godbrother, I guess is the best way to put it. He's dead now, but he was a ticket scalper, right? Mm-hmm. That's what he did. And this was in the 80s and 90s. And he always had this dream. If he made $1 million scalping tickets, he was going to buy an ambulance and moved to Mexico. Well, damn it, he bought an ambulance and moved to Mexico doing it, right? So how did you come about the ticket broker side of the business?
Sure. So the Super Bowl, the NFL season 2004 was the Colts and the Bears, and they were playing in Miami. Peyton Manning, it was raining. That was at Rex Grossman. Devin Hester returned the opening kickoff that game. Yep. So my brother-in-law, who lived in Colorado, came down for the game because he was sure he was just into his time as being a ticket scalper, like you said. So this was early 2000s. He was mostly like buying like dollar tickets at the grocery store for the Rockies. He's in Colorado. I think you said you're a Broncos fan, so we could talk.
Yep.
Denver's my second home. I love Colorado.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. So he was kind of doing that, but he also was traveling around a little bit to big events, Final Fours. Super. He came to stay with us for the Super Bowl, long story short. And we were running around. I was running with him. We were going to like the NFL Experience, the hotels where all the people were staying. And he's just like buying and selling and like talking to people and buying a ticket from this guy and selling it to that guy. And then, so we did that, went to the Super Bowl, had a great time. The next day there were like these Tim McGraw tickets going on sale. So he had me opening up laptops and computers and we're like trying to buy tickets. And then we just hung out that week and we were buying tickets and selling them and talking. And he's like, you know, I could use some help. And I was working at a bank at that point. It was just like customer service, trying to become a manager or whatever. And I was like, you know what, let's take a chance. So we started doing that. And this is, you know, 2004, 2005. I went in there and I cleaned it. Like they were just completely unorganized and I organized everything. And we started to grow a little bit. We started to do a lot of season tickets. We were the largest season ticket holder for the Rockies for a long time. A lot of different baseball teams. By 2010, we actually were very large holders of the Giants, San Francisco Giants, and the Texas Rangers. We had over 125 season tickets for each team, really good seats. They both went to the World Series and played each other. So we had full scripts. Yeah, exactly. I went to the World Series. I went to games 3, 4, and 5 down in Texas. Like
that's like minting a board eight.
Yeah, it was minting a few board apes. Like it was pretty wild, like how that went down. And then we just had a nice run like that with season tickets. Started getting a bunch of NFL season tickets. Started getting college football. We actually one of the most fun times I had with college football. Like I'm a big sports fan as it is. So it was really fun trying to pick these teams where there'd be big games. But we ended up doing Ole Miss for a few years. And one of the years, them and Mississippi State were both like top five.
Oh, so it was 2014, maybe?
Probably around there. It was when they were paying. Remember, the coach got in trouble for paying all the players.
Yeah.
I think it was when like Jim Kelly's nephew was the quarterback.
Yeah, Chad Kelly, and then Dak Prescott was at Mississippi State.
Exactly. You're exactly right. So those teams were two of the best teams in the country. They played on Thanksgiving. And it was like $500 just to walk in the door. And we had these like seats all over their stadium. And then slowly a lot of the teams started like they made a lot of the good seats premium. Teams realized what was going on. But then we ended up building up this buy team. We started SaaS software. That was going really well. We were selling it to other brokers to help them organize all their tickets and what they were buying. And then the pandemic kind of shut us down. And the guys I used to work with are still doing it, but I just got so much into NFTs and I loved it that I'm sticking with NFTs at this point. But I am very passionate about tickets, NFT ticketing. I think that is a huge, like, you know, Live Nation is going to be on the Flow blockchain. They announced that already. Yep. I mean, that's going to be, every ticket will be an NFT before too long.
Yeah.
I guess I got a little long-winded there, but.
No, that's what I wanted. That's what I was hoping for.
That's my ticket story.
Yeah, I was coming back from Arkansas last month and stopped at Ole Miss University to eat lunch or something there.
Oxford, yep.
In Oxford, yeah. They had a unisex bathrooms at Ole Miss. I was shocked.
Hmm.
I was shocked. You never thought that at Ole Miss. I was like, you're going to walk in here, all these rednecks in here. Like, yeah, unisex bathrooms.
Usually you see that at like the W hotels and stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I understand now the allure. So when you got into NFTs during the pandemic, did you think, all right, once sports comes back, I'm going to get back into ticketing and maybe this will be a hobby?
Well, when I got into NFTs, I knew it was time for me to start figuring out a way to make money. So that was my vision. But it took a while to really make some money. It took almost 6 months until August. I started doing some consulting. You know, I was buying and selling a good amount. But I had my ape, but I wasn't selling it. So I had money in that. So it took like 5 or 6 months. I always thought in my head, maybe I'll go back to tickets. It was actually a real struggle when I was spending all my time on NFTs and the guys were trying to kick up the ticket business again. They were like, come on back. And I was like, well, I'm kind of really busy and there's something I really want to do. So I wasn't sure, like, you know, and maybe I'll do something again with tickets. But when I got into NFTs, I didn't know what I was going to do. When I finally started to hit and knew that I could make it a career, then I stuck with NFTs.
Do you do a lot of trading and flipping currently?
Not currently. I don't do a lot. I did a lot throughout 2021, early 2022. And I've been very conservative. I buy some things I like, pumps up, I'll sell it. But mostly I've wanted to keep my ETH because ETH has kind of been so low. I keep telling myself, like, as soon as I buy a handful of NFTs, you know, like I wanted a Clone X and a Moonbird, like around 5 ETH. That's pretty decent deals. But as soon as that happens, like, ETH will triple on me. You know what I mean? Like, that's in the back of my head. So I'm like, just hanging on to the ETH I earned. And if I see moves, I'll make them. Like, I don't want to be quite so conservative. People are making money all the time. You know, there's like NFTs that are popping off and they're coming back. Like, you got to be quick and you got to time it well, but there's money to be made. But I'm definitely being conservative at the moment.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people, you know, especially when was it Maki Big Brother the other day dumped all those apes, like, you know, the floor drops a lot and real quick. So if you have the ETH and can hop on it, you know, you can make some money because it bounces back immediately.
Yeah. Do you know all the stuff he dropped when he did that in 48 hours?
It was like 72.
It was 90 apes, 191 mutants, 112 Azukis, and 308 other deeds.
Oh,
totaled, that's over 9,000, that's about 9,000 ETH that he brought in on all that.
Unbelievable.
Oh, no.
Good for him.
Wow. Yeah. Hey, man.
He probably wishes he did it last January, but.
Yeah. Well, he didn't have that many apes. He had 70 apes dumped on him from OSF and Mando.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Right. So,
you wouldn't have gotten all those blur. He heard doing that either last year.
Right. Yeah, I think he made millions on that, like a few million dollars, if I recall.
It's insane.
It's insane. What?
That is insane. What's the, when you were doing your flipping, so I don't know if the last episode we talked about, we've tried to turn the page on it, at least I have in 2023, but I've had pretty rough go of it in the Web3 space when it comes to trying to flip or I've had some shit stolen that was my fault. Every single one of them was my fault. Actually, one of the most infamous ones this summer, do you remember when Franklin got hacked on Twitter?
Yeah.
And I was one of the six people that.
Oh, no.
But he was cool about it. Like, he sent me a half an ETH.
Wow.
Which he didn't obviously have to do that, but he felt bad. But he sent me a half an ETH.
And I like Franklin a lot.
But we haven't had the best luck of it as far as flips go. I think Cole just made like 0.04 in the last week on some kilobits.
Big
stuff.
Win. But, big wins, baby.
Yeah. But see, Cole doesn't sell though. You want to talk about conservative. Cole just holds. Cole holds.
That's but the only thing I've sold in 2 years.
Yeah. Right. So for you, Michael, what's your like all time worst flip loss, that something that still haunts you, if there is?
Well, This is a famous story on our podcast, but I minted a Fidenza I saw somebody talking about it on Twitter as it was minting in May or April of 2021 and sold it the next day for 0.25 ETH.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I think DC Investor, you guys probably know him from Twitter, he has Denza. And that went up over 100 ETH, obviously. So that one stings a little bit. But I know that I would never have made it to 100 ETH. Like, I probably would have sold it at 2 ETH. Like, to me at that point, that was just like lines. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, you know what I mean? So I didn't know what I had. I had no idea what I had. And it's a real shame. My biggest loss monetarily is if you listen to the podcast, you may remember I bought the Cool Cat on air at 9 ETH.
Oh, yep.
That was about 25 grand when I bought it. And that was late 2021. It went up to like 15 because I bought it like as it was soaring. It went up to like 15. I knew I should have sold it. And Jenny and Andy were kind of like, oh, then we won't all be Cool Cats anymore.
That's right. I remember that. Yep. You remember
me saying that? I bust their chops on that one. I bust their chops a little bit. But it's not their fault. I would never really blame them. But then on December 31st of last year, I sold it for like whatever the floor was, 2.25 ETH. And at that point, it was like $2,700. So I took the tax loss for last year.
Gotcha.
So that's my biggest loss. That's a pretty big loss. It's like $23,000.
For sure. I thought one of your biggest misses, you were, because didn't you have a dog that with the laser beam eyes that you sold pre-reveal?
Sold it pre-reveal for like 1.5 ETH. And then I looked back, which I shouldn't have, and it had laser eyes. So that probably maxed it. Like, I didn't study that exact trait, but I mean, dogs maxed at like 14 or so. So probably 20-ish.
Yeah.
Would probably be about where that one maxed out at. I had Jeff Staple, the Staple Pigeons, those original Staple Pigeons. They originally dropped on this is probably my worst giveaway. They dropped on Bitski, and there was like 50 of them. And you had to like race super fast, just like tickets, to get it. I got number two, the number two Staple Pigeon out of 50. And that Staple Pigeon would have gotten me 7 vials to mint Clone X's. Trust me. The thing went up to like 25 ETH by itself, but it would have gotten me all those vials. And it was like, that was a nasty one. I gave that away, but I sold it for like 2 ETH, you know? So it was like, that was great at the time. I was just getting going and just trying to make money. So I don't really regret, like, I had, you know, not have to, but like, I didn't know. I minted like all these gutter cats and they obviously blew up. I minted a whole bunch of cool cats. I was selling everything. I minted 6 Pixel Vault Punks Comic Ones. Like, that was right at the right time at the right place. And I was buying and selling. Like, there was like, what was that one project called? Like, My Fucking Pickle. I bought like 60 My Fucking Pickle. Banging them out. Like, you know, just buying and selling everything. It was a lot like the ticket market for me. The supply and demand of it, there were advantages. Like, it was easier to sell. It's selling air. It's a couple clicks and you sell it. Like, it's not like sneakers or baseball cards or anything like that. And also, the transparency of the NFT market is so much more than tickets. Tickets, you have no idea what's going on. Ticketmaster releases seats the day of the show. You know, the tickets expire. NFTs never expire. You can see what's going on. I was following wallets all the time. Like, I was following Gary Vee's wallet. He'd buy an artist, I'd buy the artist, you know, like, it's just like, it was good times. I was a lot there for a hustler, you know, to eat up in the early days.
I heard your Valhalla story a couple times on the pod.
Yeah, the one where I don't even know what that would have ended up being worth, but I pulled a really nice one and I gave away pre-reveal.
Yeah. It's so hard to do in the moment, though. Like,
I know. If you sell it, it'll be something good. If you keep it, it'll be a floor. That's kind of
exactly.
I've gotten pretty lucky, though. I'm definitely, you have to play the game to get lucky. Like, that's what I always tell people. Like, the more chances you throw at the roulette wheel, like, if you can break even on an NFT, if you feel like you can buy and sell and break even, like, go for it, you know, to take the chance of hitting something.
Talking about taking chances. Have you ever messed around with MetaWin?
MetaWin. I'm not. No. That sounds familiar, but I'm not even really too familiar with what that is.
Rusty's a big fan. Rusty's lost a lot of ETH with MetaWin.
Sounds like gambling is what it says.
So we are the unofficial podcast of MetaWin.
Okay. Unofficial. So they're not paying.
They're not paying us, and it's more meta lose for us. But
meta lose.
Cole, you know, he told me about it. We're basically, it's basically like the lottery, right? So you can buy one entry into a mutant for 0.01.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I'm familiar now that you say it.
And
yeah.
Or you can buy, you know, 200 entries for one ETH or whatever.
Right, right. They do that with, like I mentioned, baseball cards. They do that with baseball cards where they, like, yeah, you know, the Michael Jordan card, break it up into 1,000 entries, and you might win it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I've been doing it a lot. Haven't won any. I try to do the ones that are at, like, so obviously we're all three on East Coast time. So I'll look at the ones that are at like 3 a.m. that are going to, cause I'm like, you know, there's not going to be
people aren't
really that. It's like trying to get a dead fella or something like that. And really it's just to flip and just to, you know, put some liquidity into my account and then can go from there, but hasn't worked yet.
Oh, last night, I think this is new, but on there you can play, or I guess gamble a head-to-head. So, like, it was one ETH was the prize, so there's two entries. You pay 0.55 ETH, and you got a 50% chance of winning the one, I guess.
Wow.
I mean, it's a genius, to me, I think it's genius for the people that created it.
Yeah.
Because they're making money hand over fist. I mean, they sweep the mutant floor all the time just to put it into this because they're going to get 6,000 entries.
Right. They're going to make money on it because people pay a little bit of a premium.
Right. Yeah. And that's kind of like one of my newest favorite or my favorite projects is Killabears. Are you in Killabears?
I'm not in them, but I always keep my eye.
Yeah. That's kind of been my.
What do you like about them?
I love the art.
Yep.
First and foremost, I think that the founders of it are really putting a lot into it. They had the open edition that just came out, the memo, volume one, and then you had the burn to volume two, burn that to volume three. So they're really onboarding a lot of people into their ecosystem. I just think it's a cool project. They've got the Killer Cubs coming out. They got Killer Bits. They got Weed. Killer Weed.
Okay.
So I don't know. It's one that I'm watching. It's a little. I think the floor is around what? Yeah, it's the like floor 3.5. So it's
wrong. That's, you can't argue with that. And they've been high for a long time. I think they were even higher than that for a while, right?
And it was a free mint.
I think they were free mint too.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, it's a cool project.
Yeah, seems like it. It's hard to get into everything. It's hard to know about everything and then be on top of everything that's going on. But I definitely watch. Like, I'm on dgens.finance all day, pretty much, like watching the stats. So I always see them what's going on.
Yeah, I only have so much ETH, and it's hard to pick where to put it. You know.
Yep.
Or like you said, if you should just hold on to it for now, who knows? You know.
Tough decisions.
Got to play the game to win, though.
You do have to play the game to win.
I keep losing, so.
Stupid game.
It's been a tough ride. It's been a tough ride. Hopefully people took some, you know, profits when it was good.
I did not. But, yeah.
Most people didn't. Tough.
I would have, but I got it stolen, and then. So then everything crashed. So I got
stolen, and the rest went.
Yeah, it was all gone. So, you know, getting I'm not a Discord guy, so I absolutely hate Discord because the first time, and this story's been told many times on the pod, but the first time I got something stolen was like a dumbass clicked the link in a Discord. Yep, and it was all because I was trying to. like get a heads up on a project that was getting ready to mint.
That's what the game was.
They got me. Somebody somewhere took me for an atom bomb squad, a dead friends, a couple other things. So yeah, it's been a rough go of it.
Y'all have a Discord, right, Michael?
Yeah, we do. We have NFT Catcher Discord. We started it almost 2 years ago when the website fired up. And there's like 11,000 people in there. There might be, you know, 50 or 100 that are active. Really good crew. Ali, who I talk about all the time, he came on the pod a couple weeks ago. He's our community manager. And it's fun there. You know, it's just good, honest people helping each other.
I'm in there. I haven't spoke up in there yet, but I'm watching. Okay. I'm in there.
All right, we'll say what's up, especially when you drop this. I'll put the link in there and I'll tag you and stuff.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. I'll come in there and say a few.
Yeah, for sure. It's a good little community. I mean, I love the people. Like I said, it's not this big, giant, like all day long, but we put good information. Like, you know, people were buying checks when it minted, and there's lots of just talk about what's going on.
Yeah. Y'all have any plans to drop an NFT for the pod?
And we've talked about it. We did the POAP with Mumbot for our 100th. You know, I don't really want to necessarily – if you drop something, it's forever. So you got to kind of remember that. And, like, you want to do it right. If we ever did anything, it'd probably be small and free for our most loyal listeners. Something like that. Like, I'm not necessarily looking to be the face in the front of a project that needs to perform forever, if that makes sense. Yeah. I mean, I'd like to do something to reward people. I think about things all the time. I love to travel. I've been to almost 50 countries. I'm an avid traveler. Like, if I ever did something, it would be trying to do something like that where I would, like, get people to buy a token and we all go on a trip somewhere. Like, I'm not trying to make money off of people like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did your time working on – you worked on the project with Cheech and Chong, correct?
Yep.
Did that make you – want to be part of another project or make you say, look, I'm good. I did it once. I'm done.
I've actually done a few projects. That was the second major project and I was kind of out front. So people saw me with that project. I'm under a non-disclosure and a non-disparagement for 3 years. So it's been about a year and a month. So I don't have anything bad to say, but I definitely want to do other projects. I would have liked to even stayed on that one longer, but it didn't work out that way. If that makes sense. Like, I'm not honestly, the art that they've put out, I don't know if you guys have watched that over the years, been amazing. Like, they've done what they promised. They've done what they promised, what we put out there. But there's some things that, you know, every project could have done something different.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah,
learning experience.
It was a great experience. I went to LA, hung out with Cheech and Chong. We spent the day smoking weed with those guys, chatting it up. Like, Cheech Marin's brilliant. Like, he's really brilliant dude. We talked about traveling. Like, he's one of the largest collectors of Chicano art in the whole world. Just opened up a museum in Riverside, California. The Cheech and Tommy is exactly what you'd expect him to be like. From the movies.
Yeah.
So that was really special. We spent a full day, ate lunch. It was at like this we did a photo shoot and video shoot for the project at like this mansion, and it was in like West Hollywood that they rented out, and it was just, we hung out there all day. There was like a recording studio. It was that was badass. It was a really good, you know, experience working with the full team, working with, like, you know, it was a really Web2 like ethos, what their team had, you know, they're trying to learn. It was good. It was a good experience.
Very cool. Yeah. I didn't know you were on that. So that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Has the pod changed your experience in Web3 from when you started to starting the pod? And then I guess what got you to start the pod at the beginning?
Sure. So I started with Vivi on Facebook like kind of talking to people. It was in like a Facebook group. That's what I was doing at the time. Got into VV, met a whole bunch of people, and everybody decided to go to Clubhouse. And I kind of started leading the rooms and got into it and like made a bunch of friends on Clubhouse, was there like all the time every night. And then as VV started adding artists, those artists were on Clubhouse and I knew them. So I started running rooms. People started to know me. Then we started the NFT Catcher and I was still trying to figure out what to do. And for whatever reason, like people kind of took to me. I think my accent's a little interesting for people, like especially around the world, my Philadelphia accent. So I just started getting the idea maybe in like June that I wanted to do one. And I was just thinking about it and stalling and thinking about it and stalling. And then one day Jenny put on Twitter that she's thinking about starting a podcast. So I just shot my shot in the DM. People always ask how we got together because, you know, I'm 43 right. And she's a lot younger than me. And it's like, it's kind of a weird combination.
Like
and
a big brother sister type thing.
I say that a lot. I look at her like a little sister for sure. I love Jenny. She's awesome. She's like so nice, genuine. She does things for the right reason. She's like I'll try and get like Beanie on. She's like, I'm not getting some scammer on the podcast. Jenny's amazing. But I just was like, hey, what do you think? I was thinking about starting one too. Maybe we should chat and see if there's some synergy. And we got on a call and she was like, yeah, might as well try it. And we got to an episode one, we got to an episode two, we started getting a little positive feedback and just kept grinding. Yeah. And we've done them. I've done podcasts from Puerto Rico, Costa Rica, Spain, London, like anywhere I've been, and we just keep doing them.
Nice.
Yeah.
Y'all go up to all the NFT conferences too, right? I know y'all are pretty big in some of that stuff.
We go to as many as we can. Yeah, we go to as many as we can. The last one I was at was in London. Both of the NFT NYCs, all the stuff in Miami, like a couple Art Basel. There's a Miami NFT week coming up. I went out to L.A. Jenny went down to like South by Southwest. So we're going to go to VCon this year. She's a speaker at VCon, second year in a row.
Yeah, she's blowing up. I mean, geez.
I know. Amazing. She's the star. It's amazing. Sure. She's the star.
We wanted you. You're the star.
Yeah. That's
why we DM'd you and not her.
Yeah. They call me Chop Liver around there. You probably DM'd her first.
No. Yeah. I don't think we DM'd her at all.
I'm just kidding.
So what's your favorite conference event that you've gone to? Is it, we know that you love Gary V.
Yeah, VCon was awesome. The first NFT NYC though was really, really special in November of 2021 because it was the first time everybody was getting together. You know, that was really the first one where like not even just me meeting everybody, but like everybody meeting each other. And there was a really special vibe and it was like the Cool Cats party and the ape yacht stuff and the Brooklyn Steel ape party with all like, you know, Chris Rock and the Killers and all that stuff. And that was really, really special. That was something that's not going to be recreated because it was so many people meeting each other for the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bo wants to go to VCon really bad.
Yeah. The tickets are going to be relatively cheap this year because last year they bottomed out around 0.2 right before the conference. So I'm thinking they might even be cheaper.
Yeah, I'll have to keep an eye out.
You just got to go to Indianapolis, Cole, and then just buy a ticket right beforehand.
Exactly.
Somebody find me a scalper.
Just like regular tickets. You just
wait. This is the ticket guy. Just listen to what he says.
Yeah. Yep. There's always going to be tickets. You wait till the end, you'll be getting them cheap.
Just like the Masters. I was told – I've always wanted to go to the Masters, but right. If you go up there the day of, you're going to get a ticket for like $200.
Right. The hard part's the accommodation.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's nowhere to stay in Augusta that you would want to, at least.
People make a killing renting their house out that week.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do.
Have a love for Twitter spaces. Every time I put on Twitter, it's like... Yeah, Michael Keane is in this Twitter space.
That's great. I'm in there most of the day. I'm not always listening. A lot of times I'm working and the volume's down, but a lot of times I have it up. There's a lot that I really like. I love Coffee with Captain in the morning. Nick and Pio do an amazing job. You know, I like listening to Farouk, and Zenik has got his show now. I love Web3 Exposed with like Books and Profits. Those guys are bringing different energy. They're really cool. And Leap at nighttime is amazing. Like I turn it on. The reason I leave it on and the volume down is because people follow me while I'm just like sitting there. I'll just gain some followers.
There you go.
Yeah.
What do you think about the whole Ryan Carson thing?
That's a lot. I kind of love the drama. I mean, it's pretty wild. He took himself down with one bad tweet and he crumbled.
Yeah.
Like there's two sides of the coin, because the people he brought together, like, they are really nice people and it was a really good So, like I was saying, the community that he put together and those people were really nice people doing it all for the right reason and following him. But he is like, and it was pretty obvious to me from the beginning, he's a politician. Like, he says all the right things. You know, I try and think of myself as having a bit of a bullshit detector, and I detected it a decent amount from him. Like, he would say things like, you know, when he left Moonbirds, he's like, yeah, I just thought it'd be fun to start a fund. And like, nothing about that is fun. He's trying to make money. You know what I mean? Like, investing other people's money. So he makes this tweet that.
Do you love wines from Sonoma? Well, it's never too late to stop making bad life decisions. Dedicated to honesty, quality, and family, Bueller Vineyards is a fourth-generation vineyard and winery perched on a mountaintop just 5 country miles east of St. Helena in the heart of Napa Valley. Situated on 300 acres, their family has been farming Cabernet Sauvignon and Zinfandel for more than 5 decades. They attempt to combine meticulous vineyard management and minimal winemaking techniques to create wines of uncommon complexity and depth, and to present these wines to their customers at a fair and reasonable price. Cab is king, and Napa is its kingdom. Recruiting Solutions. Stay ahead of the hire. Recruiting Solutions is a full-service staffing, temp, employment, and recruitment agency with offices located in Greenville, Columbia, and Florence, South Carolina. With over 8 years of consecutive top 25 companies to work for in South Carolina, Forbes Top 100 Professional Recruiting, Forbes Top 100 Staffing Agency, and over 30 years in business. Whether you're looking for your next employee or your next career, give Recruiting Solutions a call.
He makes this tweet where he announces all his partners, and a lot of backlash. Twitter space all night long. AJ Vaynerchuk is on there. I mean, he was in a good spot. Like, he's ready to have Gary V and Zeneca and G Money and all these people, you know, investing in his new fund. He's starting a second fund at this point, puts out this tweet announcing it before they'd signed anything and really agreed. And it was a bit misleading, trying to get people to donate $160,000 when these people were only donating $10,000. Pretty much everybody dropped off. He stopped doing the PO apps. He knew right away that he was going to have trouble raising his funds for this. Stopped doing the PO apps. Listeners dropped off. Then he had the other tweet. He bought these ordinals that I guess he got kind of ripped off on those, it sounds like. They were supposed to be like these rare punks, and they weren't. He spent too much money, whatever it is, on Bitcoin. And I guess he's just spiraling. He's like, I'm leaving Web3. So he's out. Like, yeah, can't take the heat. You know, like, people coming down on him.
It's interesting. I heard he was going to send his listeners over to Zeneca, though. Over to Zeneca's show.
They tried to kind of bring that community together.
Yeah. I guess a little bit of good out of that, maybe, but.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. Zeneca is doing his daily one now, right? 10:30. Zeneca, Farouk, and Alex are all going at 10:30 now.
Okay. I haven't heard Zeneca's show yet. I listened to him a lot on Carly's podcast, Overpass JPEGs. I hear him on there a good bit, but I haven't caught his Twitter space yet. It's fairly new though, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's done a lot of Twitter spaces over time, but, and I'm sorry, I'm adjusting again, This one is new, the Zen Daily.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah. What? I got to apologize for the technical difficulties, everybody listening and watching, but we are here and we're going to bang out an awesome episode still.
That's right. Things happen. Technology.
Yeah.
Michael, if you knew all the technical difficulties we've had in our 26 episodes, this is nothing. We had one with a guest that was just so terrible that we basically had to scrap it.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
We wasted an hour and a half, and then I edited it for an hour and couldn't save it.
I guess those are just the trials and tribulations of the podcast world.
That's how it goes. You always got to make sure you're recording. That's number one.
Yeah, that helps.
Yep.
That helps. They have a lot of these podcast conferences and stuff, right? Have you ever thought about going to any of those?
I have thought about it. I mentioned it to Andy. I'm in like a podcast. I said Facebook group before. I'm in a podcast producers Facebook group. Like, I would think about it.
Yeah. I don't know if they're any good or not. If you had looked into that.
It's all, you know, just like all these conferences, it's going to be a bunch of booze of people trying to sell you stuff.
Yeah. But yeah.
Maybe you make some connections.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
What do you think the current state of NFTs are? To me, things feel kind of slow. It's not a lot of hype currently, maybe. Market sentiment, maybe a little low. What are your thoughts or your take on the current state of things in Web3?
Yeah, you're right about that. It is slow. There's not a lot of people. The word's not like the word spread in 2021 because people were making money and they were telling all their friends about it, their friends and family. Word spreads. People come in the system. There's very few people in the system. The blur ecosystem is driving a lot of the volume. My cool cat that I sold in December, it's traded hands like 25 times since then. Jeez. I've watched it on Etherscan. Like, it's ridiculous. And all for right around the same price. So I think that the market is poised for something big to happen. I think it's going to be gaming. Like, I picture sometime this year or next year, there's going to be a game. Somebody's going to knock it out of the park. And it's just going to be like, oh, yeah. And like, everyone's going to want to be playing it because they're going to want to be collecting the assets that they own and they can sell. Kids are going to be making money. This 18-year-old kid, Mongrel, just made $1.6 million. Like,
yep.
Yeah, gaming. Playing Dickie Dash?
Like, yeah, exactly. And that has to cause waves to people that are playing video games. That has to. That guy's got millions of followers. He's the number one Fortnite player. Yeah. And he made $1.6 million playing a Web3 NFT game. So, like,
yeah.
I think that that's going to be the next pop. Is somebody's going to hit it right? Hopefully it's Yuga, for my own sake.
Yeah, yeah.
Gaming's been talked about for a while, right? Everybody's like game mechanics, and it almost got to the point where it was like a joke because nobody was doing it.
We're going to build a game. We're doing a game.
Yeah. Exactly. It was like a meme, like, oh, a game. But hey, I mean. Gaming as a whole is not getting smaller.
No. It's gaming is the biggest application for this. Gaming is billions and billions of dollar industry, and it makes so much sense. But the fat cats are making so much money that they're not rushing into it. Yeah. You know, so they're coming. I feel they're definitely coming. Somebody's going to knock it out of the park, and then all the dominoes will fall. I think that's going to be the next huge surge in NFTs is gaming, is what I think. I'm not a gamer by any means. It just seems so obvious.
Yeah. I was listening to or watching, I don't know if you ever watched the, what's the Proof Daily YouTube with NFT Statistics Sam over there? You ever watch his daily YouTube show?
A couple times. I need to check that out because I like it. NFT Statistics, I like him.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I was watching it earlier today and he shows a bunch of charts and stuff. And what's going on in the market. And you can see there's the volume, all because of Blur, is up a ton, but there's no new traders. Like the amount of wallets and everything is very much the same. There's a few big players that are causing all of this, and it's not Like you said, there's nobody really new coming into the ecosystem.
And so, that's a good point. That's exactly right. And that is what's happening. That is what's happening for sure. And then I saw someone else say, I've seen that statistic thrown around. And I saw someone else say, well, that's the same as a Bitcoin and Ethereum. There's a small percentage of the major players, kind of move things around. But that is the truth. That is the truth for sure for NFTs. We're in kind of a holding pattern. Yeah. People aren't going all in on things, like some things catch fire, but not the majority.
Yeah, I don't think all the stuff we had with SBF and all the exchanges, that's not bringing in new people right at this point. We got to get away from that before I think you start to see it rise again. Because like you said, when did I get started? 2021 and in 2021? Like, that's all anyone talked about were NFTs, NFTs, NFTs. Everybody, and now it's just like, oh, you do NFTs? Oh, cool.
It's a scam, right? I thought those crashed, people say.
Those are dead, cool? Right?
Right.
I think overall, the whole market, the macro market too, I think there's just a lot of people that are very cautious right now. If you look at the macro environment, the macro stock market, et cetera, a lot of people are watching inflation. A lot of people are watching what's going to, I don't think a lot of those effects have really hit the markets yet. And I think that's probably causing a lot of people to be cautious here too, where, like you said, a lot of people probably holding on to their ETH to see what happens.
Yeah. A lot of people are definitely being cautious. It's a weird time. It's a weird time for sure. And there's just not like you said with the wallets, and there really is not a lot of people, even the people that are here aren't trading like they used to.
Yeah, unless you maxed out your Blur tokens, not a whole lot of people doing much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the open editions, I mean, I think those have brought, I don't know if they brought new people in, but that's been something that's been pretty hot lately.
People have been degenerating into it for sure. All, the checks and Vincent Van Do and all the artists start doing it. Yeah, no, that's been pretty fun.
Well, it seems like the Bird mechanics are starting to really take off. Gary V's got Bird Island now, and back to Killer Bears, they have the Bird Market coming out. So you're starting to see that. I mean, that's pretty fun to be able to get it at a low entry point and then, turn. I mean, shit, the checks. One time I looked at buying one, it was 0.22, and now what? It's over 2 now? So that was a... That was a 2 ETH miss for me. So.
Swinging a miss. 10X,
yeah. What Ali in our Discord server, I forget if it was 10 or 20, he minted them for free or $8 or whatever. Sold them all for like 0.01.
No.
Yeah, I know. All of them.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so the a few projects that I kind of tailed you on, I mentioned at the beginning. So one was, I know you're very big into it, is Smilesverse. How are you feeling about that now?
It's hard to say. I don't know what Waheed's going to put into it, honestly. That was one of my favorite projects for a long time. I was there pre-drop, watched the whole thing drop, buying and buying, watched it go all the way up. I really like Waheed. He had a problem. And Giovanni had a problem that actually went to a legal dispute. And Waheed was feeling a lot of pressure, it sounds like. He was, he put a heartfelt note into Discord. Do I think it's going to blow up again? I really don't know. I hope the best for Waheed. I hope he does something awesome with his art career. And then that drives Smilesverse. There was a bit of euphoria. I thought that project was... I know there was a lot of influential people holding it, and I really thought that one was awesome, and it's disappointing. And it really sucks because, the whole time for the podcast, I was telling people how much I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, I think you said, 12 ETH was what you looked at it at one point.
I said, I think it's going to 10 ETH, I said, which was famous. That's the top signal. When it was like 2, I was like, this is going to be a 10 ETH project one day. And
I bought it 0.28, and now I'm like, I bought it live on the pod at 0.28.
Oh my god!
I was thinking I was big shit, Right. And now is it? It's under 0.1 now.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I never sold any of them. I have like 15 or so. I have red ones and silver ones.
Yeah, I was looking through your the wallet that anybody can see just to get an idea. Yeah. How much of the shit do you have in there is airdropped, and how much of it is what you bought?
There's a lot of airdrop stuff in there because I haven't really cleaned it out. But a lot I've bought, like a lot I've bought for sure. I have 75 Afro droids and then claimed 75 drones from them. Like I have a lot of crap in there. So collected 761. I have 350 in the hidden. And I don't know if it's half and half of what I bought and what was airdropped. A lot of it's just kind of fun stuff from some of my friends, but there's a lot of crap in there. It's a bag of a lot of crap.
Speaking of your friends, didn't you kind of shill a project called Lilverse?
Lilverse?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Well, shit, I thought it was you that said it, so I bought one.
I don't even know what that is.
And then I bought one, and I bought it like 0.007. They just had volume 2 come out, and I could sell it like 0.05. So I'm going to say you helped me on that one.
Yeah, no, that was me. That was all me.
Lilverse.
That was all me.
Yeah, it's the Saudi Arabian guy I have. Cole.
Lilverse.
Yeah.
So what projects you got before we wrap up here, Michael? I know, you know, we know the big time projects. Is there anything you're looking forward to coming up? Anything you said you've been conservative, but any projects that are new, older, that you're keeping an eye on that you might want to jump on for future gains?
I'm keeping a close eye on Loud Punks, because I do think what they're doing is really cool. I'm going to see what happens in LA, if anybody's able to sell their ticket and figure that part of it out. Excuse me. And I'm watching a lot. I'm watching some of the older ones. I don't have anything new on my radar that's dropping. Like everything, any of the new ones that come with hype, they seem to just hype a little bit and then, like, now what? And then we're on to the next thing. Because there's always something new. Like, that's really the key, is there's always something new coming. I'm trying to watch some of the artists I like. But I'm ready to pounce, but I don't have anything that I'm eyeing at the moment.
Are you still in Cool Cats at all? That was that one that you had.
Yeah, I don't have the Genesis Cool Cat. I have a couple cool pets, and I have like some of the other stuff they airdrop, but I don't have a cool cat anymore.
I've kind of kept my eye on that. Like, it was almost way, I guess, earlier this year, last year, down like in the ones, low ones for a while, and I was like, there's no way this stays here.
Yeah, I know.
But I never did anything
really low. Like, and like I kept thinking about Moonbirds, because they're having a meeting tomorrow, and it was down at like 6. Now it's 6.89. I figured it would come up and run to that. Some of those ones that go really low, like Clone X under 5.
Yeah.
V Friends down that way seems decent.
Yeah, I guess there's a lot of FUD around Moonbirds after he canceled the conference and all, you know, there for a little bit.
Yes, very much. They made a bunch of missteps. Made a bunch of missteps for sure. Starting with Ryan Carson leaving.
Yeah.
That was a huge controversy. And the CCO.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. They haven't really done too much other than give you like fanny packs and stuff.
Yeah. Which I'm not a big fanny pack guy, but
yeah, for sure. I have an oddity over there.
Yeah, I looked at that too. That was when I saw below one ETH. And it might be there now, but last year it was like 0.75. I was like, that's gotta go back
0.96 right now.
Yeah, I think that's a good.
Yeah, it's that could be if they do anything, because like they also start, they're sunsetting the proof pass, so like I don't know what they're gonna do.
It
seems kind of weird, but like under one, it could very well be a decent move.
Yeah, but I feel like Kevin Rose got to figure it out at some point. But
you would think. You would think.
Yeah, yeah.
You would think.
Yeah. What's your overall thoughts on Doodles 2? I know Jenny's a big Doodle fan. I'm a big Doodle fan, but don't have one.
Yeah. I really like their CEO, Julian Holguin, I believe is his name. Julian something. I like hearing him talk. I like their vision. What they're trying to do with Doodles 2 is a little bit different. It's going to be allow people to buy them, you know, for cheap with a credit card. Like, that's what they want. They want to give people an experience. I need to know more details how I think it's going to play out, but I'd like people trying something different and stepping outside the box and trying to bring it to the masses a little more. And if they can make that a real brand, I bet Doodles 2 will do well. I bet it'll be pretty cool.
I felt like Doodles 2, when it dropped, January 31st, there was a lot of hype leading up to it. And then the 31st, the 1st, the 2nd, the 3rd, like, it was almost radio silence about the project.
Yeah, I hear
it
just, that. Yeah.
And it didn't feel like it was hitting the way, and even to this day, like, I'm not in the Discord and I'm not a holder, so maybe I'm not in the right spots, but I'm on NFT Twitter all the time. So
no, you're right. Nobody's talking about it. Nobody's talking about it right now. That's for sure. I do hear that. They're not real great with the fanfare at this point.
They're just great with the things at the conventions and the expos. They do a good job with that, right?
No, they do. The guy, he ran Billboard. The guy who's the CEO now, and I mean, he seems to, you know, be connected and smart with connection, you know, like with being able to put stuff together. But it's to be determined. The NFT space is weird. Like, it's changed a lot. People are looking for different things. And what's really going to, even if, like, so, like, you have a good business, so the token's going to go up, you know what I mean? So, like, if the Doodles crush it, still, what's going to make people want to pay 10, 15 ETH for the Genesis, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what's gonna drive that in NFTs? Like, where is that value gonna be? That's what the space needs to figure out.
Yeah, that's the $1 million question.
Right. Where's the value?
$1 billion question, more like
it. Yeah,
that's exactly right.
That's it, man. We will keep you, Michael. We appreciate you really joining us tonight. It's great. We enjoyed the conversation. But before we leave, why don't you tell people where they can find you, your podcast?
Awesome. That's what's up. I appreciate that. Well, first off, thank you guys so much. I'm sorry about the technical difficulties. Hopefully it looks good, sounds good for everybody. A lot of laughs. I really had fun doing this, and I wouldn't mind doing it again someday. So we'll definitely stay in touch.
Well, we could do this for hours, to be honest with you. So we might we'll definitely hit you up in the coming months. Maybe we'll have a little bit more to talk about the current state of it. But let's get you some more listeners, at least some golfers that might listen to the NFT
Catch
Your podcast.
Well, you can find me on Twitter at NFTicket. It's kind of, you know, NFTicket. You can find the NFT Catcher podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts, Spotify, Apple, all that. Would love to hear from you. And thank you guys so much. When this goes live, I'm going to send our people over to you as well, because you guys do an awesome job. And the more the merrier in the Web3 podcast space. I love it.
Absolutely. We'll plug you in there as well, too, in our notes and our description. So we'll see if we can make it work.
All righty.
All right, man. We'll catch you soon.
Yeah,
Michael. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Yeah.